أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters, and once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother, Abdul Mutakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help the believers to get off to a good start in the morning during this blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speakers to aid all us all in our growth and development. Dear brothers and sisters, we were blessed to hear from Imam Abdul Malik yesterday, who said to us that this is our season of grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation. of rejuvenation of our spirit, mind, and heart to recommit and dedicate ourselves to Allah. He quoted the Quran, chapter 3, verse 101, wherein Allah says, hold on to the rope of Allah. As he quoted that verse, he said to us that he wanted us to focus on the heart. And he asked us to focus on the seat of our soul, which is the heart, which is the essence of intention. Our brother said that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, every action is judged by its intention, and for every action there is an intention. He said to us that the essence of our unity is based upon Allah joining or uniting our hearts. And it is the heart that is the greatest influence on human beings. Our brother said that the Quran, that Allah said in the Quran that there are some people whose hearts are hard as rocks. And they do, and this is due to their lack of remembrance and respect of the divine, and they declare war on the innocent men, women, and children who have no water, electricity. They cut off their access to the basic necessities of life. He said that we might not think all the same. We all don't think the same. We may not have the same interpretation of Quranic mandates or principles of Islam, but the hearts of the Muslims are one. And he said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that there is a piece of flesh in the body that when it is whole, the body is whole. But when the stick or when the sick or when this part of the body is sick, the entire body is in pain and grief. Verily, it is the heart. Our brother closed his talk by encouraging us to pay attention to our intentions and said that Allah says in the Quran that there is in the remembrance of Allah is where the heart finds tranquility. He urged us to guard our hearts and do not allow our hearts to become hard wherein we find indifference in the word of Allah or become indifferent in the word of Allah and the truth. Where we become indifferent to the suffering of the masses of people throughout the world, and where we are no longer concerned feeding, clothing the hungry and the poor, or being the voice of those most vulnerable in the society. He said, let our hearts be open to the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Palestine, for the Israeli forces are showing us what is in their hearts. They are showing us their true colors in the death, destruction, and killing of innocent men, women, and children. And there is a price to be paid for the shedding of innocent blood. We thank Allah for the powerful words of our brother and friend, Imam Abdul Malik, yesterday. We thank Allah for our guest speaker today to carry us further into our program will be our brother and friend, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil.
Yes, sir, dear brother. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, sir.
Thank you, black man. Thank you, dear brother. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Ramadan Mubarak. And praise be to Allah. We are here once again. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his apostle. Dear brothers and sisters, on this 10th day of the holy month of Ramadan, in the year 1445 or 2024 by the Gregorian calendar, we are into this great month and off to a great start by the permission of Allah. And I find that this morning somewhat unusual and remarkable and exciting to note. Why? Because we are in the midst of a great period of darkness all around the world. As Imam Abdul Malik pointed out to us yesterday, the stark difference between those in whose breast beats the heart of a human being and those in whose breasts beat the heart of a beast, I should say. Those differences are stark and pronounced in the world today. But in Ramadan, we are striving in the way of Allah, and the beauty of our striving is made more clear to us and to those around us every single day. I have just a moment to be with you, and I want to thank you for allowing me this opportunity to stand in the place where usually my big brother, Brother Minister Abdul Akbar Muhammad, stands. And I reflect on Brother Akbar and his life and his training to us, and what he is teaching us and training us as helpers in this mission. And what Brother Akbar has said to us as we strive to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in this community of Islam all over the world. Brother Akbar has traveled through over 130 countries on this earth. In fact, he's the only brother I know who has literally sat at the table with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and served as an assistant minister to Malcolm X, Minister Malcolm, to Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, and then settled into a long and productive period as the assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. As such, Brother Akbar saw many things that he bore witness to us. And one of them is the power of Islam that has gathered us around our radios and devices and computers this morning. That power is what I'm giving way to in just a moment, because it'll be witnessed for you and me. The study of Islam is the study of unity and the power that comes from it. In Christianity, they call it ecumenism, the unity and cooperation of various denominations of the church. In Islam, we could call it Islamic inclusion, universal respect, brotherhood without borders. We could call it no big eyes and little U's. We could call it the real period, as Brother Imam Abdul Malik said yesterday, of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness, of salvation, of the re-knitting of the torn fabric of our brotherhood into a warm and securing garment. We can do this by the power and might of Allah when we unite, as we are called to do every morning on the Ummah Reflex. I'm so grateful that Dr. Nisa and the team have put together this activity for us. And I think you can see what I see. You can see us getting better and stronger every single day. And so I'm going to leave you now with the words of a great philosopher, a great public intellectual, if you will, of a sort, in the Western world. His name was Yusuf Haziz, but he went under another name, Joe Tex. And Joe Tex told us, hold on to what you got. I'm saying to you Muslims, hold on to what you got. Hold on to the firm handle of Islam and never break away from it. It won't break away from you, but hold on to your Islam this Ramadan and beyond, and be empowered by the fact that you are the best, the righteous, and the powerful. That's who you are. Be yourself and live your life. And Ramadan Mubarak to all. Let me bring to the microphones my dear sister, the doctor who put this together. And I use the word doctor because often we don't want to show respect for the accomplishments of our brothers and sisters. But my sister has accomplished this, and we respect her in the right context. Let's give way to Sister Nisa Islam. Sister Nisa, are you there?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our special guest this morning. This is his first time with us on the Ummah Reflex, and we pray, inshallah, it will not be his first time. Our special guest this morning is none other than Sean King. We heard him take his shahada last week as part of the Ummah Report, and so we are so excited to have him. Now, when I was speaking to him earlier, he said, you know, I'm just a regular guy. We need more regular guys like this. He is an activist. He is a supporter. He is a supporter for Palestine even before he became a Muslim. And so we need more regular guys like this. And so without further delay, Brother Sean, welcome to the Ummah Reflex.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Dr. Nisa, and I'm honored to be here with all of you. Assalamu alaikum and good morning.
Well, alaikum salam.
Well, we are nothing but honored. I also have here with me my dear wife, Dr. Ray King, who is my better half, and she's so brilliant. And to put a smile on your faces this morning, we got dressed and pretty this morning because we thought we were going to be on video. And so we are awake and honored and glad to be here with all of you. And I've been inspired by your words. I wanted to be able to share with everybody just a little bit about our path on how we got here. I wanted to say something that was just really brought to my remembrance. When people ask me, Brother Sean, how did you become a Muslim? I'm 44 years old. I was a Christian pastor for many years. I went to seminary. My wife and I have been devout Christians for most of our lives. I want to say to all of you, I don't know that I would be on this call, and my path and my wife's path have been uniquely different. She didn't just follow me here, and she would never have just done that. She thinks for herself. But all the way back, gosh, it must be in 1995, my first introduction to Islam was through Brother Malcolm X, through the Nation of Islam. Without him, I don't know that my heart ever would have been softened. And there's so much history on this call. So I'm grateful to each and every one of you who may just be listening, who played a role in his life, who's played a role in the nation. And truly, it goes much more recent than that. Throughout my entire life, Muslims have been so consistent, so kind, so reliable. Even more than that, Muslims have put their lives on the line to protect me and protect my family. At some of my hardest, lowest moments as an organizer and activist and leader, it was strong brothers from the nation that were parked outside of my home protecting my family. It was a man that I really grew to love and think of as a brother, Richard Muhammad, who traveled with me all over the country as my friend and partner, but really as my security. And so I just want to thank all of you for the role you've played in even getting me to this point. And it, not only has my heart been softened, but just brilliant men and women from the nation have always been there for me, have always been so kind to me. And I have to start there because as deep as some people want to expect our conversion to be, for me and my wife in different ways, it was the friendship of Muslims that really opened our heart to Allah. It was just the consistency and the kindness of them, often when no one else was there for us. Even as we were practicing Christians, it became a trend where my wife and I realized that Christians had not showed up for us, but Muslims had. And it eventually got to a point where it wasn't just that we had a bit of dismay around American Christianity. We became intellectually curious about what it would mean for us, even at this stage of our lives, to become Muslims. You know, without the support of Muslims in my life, I don't know where I would be as a leader right now. Some of the most important moments of the past few years, Muslim men and women have been there to support me, to encourage me, and as I said, to even protect me. But it really has just been over the past few months that my wife and I have taken the steps of opening up the Quran and really asking ourselves, could we become Muslims? Could this be a path for us? That's a question that I honestly, earnestly never thought we would ask at this stage of our lives. And as soon as we took just a half step toward Allah, toward Islam, we found our hearts light, we found our burdens easier, and we found it really making sense to us. And we both found ourselves surprised. And I'm grateful that you all reached out to us to be on this call. But I want to say here just as 10 days into our journey in Islam, that there was a prayer that so many people have told us they've prayed, and it's been real for us. So many people have said to me and to my wife, Ray, that they have prayed that our burdens be easy and that Allah would make our burdens easy. And we have felt that, even though a lot of people expected, we've had a hard week. I've trended across social media for just lies and falsehoods. We've found people that have, you know, turned against us over these past few days. And I say to all of you, it really has not stressed us. We have found that Allah has made our burdens light. We have enjoyed the discipline of praying 5 times a day, of being able to share that together. We were out and about in public yesterday and, you know, had the experience that many of you have probably had thousands and thousands of times of just needing to find somewhere to pray. I just found it so meaningful, so beautiful to be able to do that at this stage in my life, a discipline that I lacked for so many years that we now have. I'm grateful, though, that Muslim men and women have been there for us in our most important times. And now I really find myself as a leader asking myself, how can I use my life, my training, my skills to now be there for Muslims for the rest of my life? I thank you all for mentioning Palestine and Gaza and the atrocities that we see there. Just as you said, have not only illuminated for us the evils of this world and who is promoting those evils, but this genocide, as we call it, has really been a low point in human history, to see what human beings could do to other human beings. Sometimes has me so frustrated and angry, but I know as Muslims, we have a duty to speak up, to stand up, to speak out. And I'm glad to hear you all doing so as well. We'll do that together. It's my honor just for a moment. I would like to introduce my wife, Dr. Ray King, just for her to say hello. And Ray, if you don't mind for a moment, just telling the people a little bit about your journey on how you got here as well. Here's Dr. Ray.
Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers. I'm honored to be here. Thank you for inviting us. As my husband said, you know, we have been able to befriend Muslims all throughout our lives. And like him, at a young age, I was very moved and touched by the story of Minister Malcolm X. And but was raised a Christian, was born into a Christian family, one of those families that attended church 3 days a week and participated in church at every level and actually really enjoyed it, and was formed in huge part by those experiences and my Christian beliefs at a young age. Sean and I actually met in church. He was about 17 and newly saved. And I had been in church, as I said, my entire life, but watched him be baptized and become a minister and really devote himself early on to this commitment that he had made to be a faithful person. You know, church was a part of our adult lives as well. As he said, he was a pastor, and you know, we labored together in Atlanta and California and various places to do that work. But it eventually reached a place where we became more disconnected from the church, and I think maybe a little you know, anxious maybe in our own spirits about our faith and some questions we had and issues that we saw. And primarily, as Sean expressed a little bit, a lack of, you know, real community, some because we had moved so much in our adult lives that it was very difficult to be rooted anywhere. And then also just eventually, I think, as Sean mentioned, we started to see a real difference between the way our brothers and sisters in Christ kind of lived out their faith, us included, and some of the Muslim friends that we had developed over, you know, several years of our adult lives. I think Sean mentioned, you know, I don't think we ever really saw ourselves converting. As a matter of fact, I said I never would. I felt like I was, you know, too old to make such a big change and to learn a religion and in some ways, you know, a new language. And it just, you know, I literally told him that's not something I could ever see myself doing. I think I said that as recently as maybe a month and a half ago, actually. But Allah changed that very quickly. My heart just, once I actually read the Quran and spoke with brothers and sisters about questions that I had about the faith, it was almost like not a miracle, I would say, but it happened. The shift in my thinking and my heart happened very quickly. You know, Sean mentioned about some real tangible ways that Muslim brothers and sisters showed up for us. And for me, I can think about a couple of years ago, a few years ago, the New York Post wrote an article about Sean, and in it had a picture of our home and some, you know, details about where we lived. And people started coming to our house. And as Sean said, some brothers from the nation were our security, and we had to have someone in our driveway 24 hours a day. We had to have someone with our children in the neighborhood. They could no longer just ride their bikes freely anymore. And they still to this day talk about the man who was our security at that time riding bikes with them through the neighborhood. But also during that time, you know, it was Muslim sisters who came to my house and brought food and about a week's worth of meals that they had prepared, just because they didn't want me having to think about what I was going to feed my family in the midst of everything that we were going through. And even though we were, you know, loosely connected to a church family at that time, you know, it wasn't those folks who showed up in a real tangible way. And it's not a knock on them or anything. It's just not necessarily always a part of that active generosity, and those good deeds, I would say, are not always a major part of how we operated as Christians. It was more, you know, kind words and thoughts and prayers. And so even though that was several years ago, it really stuck in my mind as an important incident, an important example of Muslims living out their faith. And it happened several more times. And I think, as Sean said, it just was an incident that eventually, years later, made our hearts able to be softened. And when Allah willed it, for us to accept Islam as a faith. And so, you know, it feels, even though I said I would never do this, it feels, as Sean said, easy, and it feels like we're exactly where we're supposed to be at this moment. And so I thank you all for your very long history of active good deeds in the Black community and in the Ummah at large.
Absolutely. Thank you, dear. And I just wanted to say today, you know, privately, what I would love the opportunity to say publicly. I'm just so grateful for the courage, the faithfulness, the tenacity, the consistency of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I cannot tell you over the years how many people have squeezed me to try to speak out against the minister. And I am so grateful that something was in my heart to never bend to that pressure, that I can be on this call and know that I was never in that number that turned or was allowed myself to bend or break to that pressure. And I'm grateful because I remember I was a junior in high school during the Million Man March. And I remember I grew up in Central Kentucky. And I actually went during my senior year to Masjid Bilal, in part inspired by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I remember I was not able to make it to the Million Man March, and me and all of my friends wanted to go, but our school allowed us to gather around the television and watch it together. And his example in that time, it had a big impact on me and showed me for the rest of my life how I could speak truth to power. I did not have to live a life of fear. I could always say the hard and necessary thing. And I don't know that I have any better living example of someone who has consistently done that the way the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has done. And so I am grateful for the impact that he has had on all of your lives to bring us here to this moment. And I'm grateful that there is a community that has welcomed us. And so thank all of you for having us here this morning. If there's ever anything that Dr. Ray and I can do, we'd love to do it. And so thank you for having us. And again, please call on us. And for all the times that you've been there for us over the years, we say thank you. And we're looking forward to returning the favor.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sean and Sister Dr. Ray King. Thank you all for your beautiful testimony. Thank you. And many of us is the same way. When we got up and somebody came, it was a brother or a sister who touched us with a word or a kind gesture to let us to know that this is the way that God wants us to go. May Allah continue to bless you all. And I know you heard it and many have told you, but you got 1.2, 1.3 billion friends all over the world. So may Allah continue to bless you both. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have our Umar report, which will feature the poetry of our brother Amal Kasir. Brother Amal.
The land is your land. This land is my land. From Texas land to Gauzy Island. From Custom Forest to BT Waters, this land was made by you and me. Oh, yeah, it was you and me. With a TV addiction and an oil IV, a consumer consistency that keeps us demanding the supply. We've destroyed indigenous tribes. Uranium babies blow with their eyes. Someone shot the dove and they all died. Earth's lungs are bloody in earthquakes. She sighs. Haiti neglected like Seattle suicide. Syria undetected. It's Rwandan genocide. See, we built hellfire. Bedouin buildings getting higher. Boston explosion, California fires, Halliburton contractors building empires, and all the world's babies are burning in fire. And today, Yemen's babies are burning in fire, and these thrones are getting higher. There are drones in the sky, but no talk about ceasefire. Ceasefire, ceasefire, ceasefire. Handcuffs on my wrist, they told the news we are liars. They taped our mouths shut. They pulled our fingernails with pliers. Hunger strike for 40 days. We're starting to get tired. We're tired. We're so tired. And these leaders are all tyrants. And the blood just seems so violent. You got Arab women silent. White women rape. Military operations dumping toxins into lakes. And the air you breathe is fake. And the teachers teaching hate. And the children are today. And the government won't investigate. Oppression screams, but the tyrants wear nice suits. Baby bleed, United Nations peace pursuit, democracy. So why don't they read the news? So they're after me and the poetry I use. This land is your land. This land is my land. And still we stab her and skin her babies. Still we frack her and kill her people. This land once peaceful. Hear her cry.
Ooh. Ooh-wee. Thank you, Sister Amal Kafir. Thank you for that powerful word. Praise be to Allah. We will now have our fast back with Sister Nisa Islam. Sister Nisa.
Yes, sir. Our fast back is forgive easily. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and let them pardon and overlook. Would you not love for Allah to forgive you? Allah is all forgiving and most merciful. That is Surah 24, Ayah 22. Forgiving those who hurt us can be difficult. The pain clouds our minds and blurs our vision so often that what we do is the result of pain and not clear thinking. Our behavior can be totally destructive to the ones we love because we are operating from a position of pain and not power. But if we don't forgive and hold on to the bitterness in our hearts, then there will be less space for love, peace, and positivity in our life. We find it easy to forgive and move on when our oppressors continue to pillage our communities and fail to provide the necessary things for our people to be self-sufficient. We can forgive our open enemy. However, too often we mouth the words that we forgive, but there is still revenge and treachery in our heart. We can't wait for the next opportunity to stab the one who hurt us in the back or speak harsh words about them. We say, well, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just letting people know what's going on. But that is not the way of Allah at all. That is just hurt and pain speaking. All that does is create more hurt and anguish. Sometimes we are slow to forgive because we feel something we love has been taken. Consider this, dear Muslims. If Allah allowed something to be taken from you that you couldn't imagine losing, then surely Allah can give you something you couldn't imagine obtaining. Allah says in Surah 8, Ayah 70, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, if Allah findeth any good in your heart, he will give you something better than what has been taken from you, and he will forgive you, for Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. We should deal with each other by pardoning and overlooking as we would like them to treat us in the same manner. But more importantly, how we want Allah to treat us. That's it. Let's allow love for Allah and his creations to lead our life and our activities. This is better for our heart. Ask yourself before acting, is this pleasing to Allah? Would Allah be pleased with what I'm doing? Forgive someone for the sake of Allah and you won't be disappointed with the reward you will receive for doing so, inshallah. Oh Allah, replace our trauma with healing, betrayal with loyalty, failure with success, harshness with grace, hatred with love, and most importantly, replace sins with forgiveness. The fast fact of the day is forgive easily. Allah will be pleased. Welcome to all our listeners from around the world. Countries include Trinidad, Tobago, Singapore, Serbia, Belgium, and Colombia. We thank Allah over and over again for the opportunity to serve. Remember, Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam, Sister Nisa. Thank you for the fast fact. All right, brothers and sisters. We're working on those first 10 days of Ramadan, our 10th day of reading. Today is from chapter 8, verse 41, through chapter 9, verse 93. Surah 8, ayat 41. Through Surah 9, Ayat 93. And at this time, as we move to close our program, we will ask our brother if he will close us with prayer. Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad, Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak, dear Muslims. Al-Fatiha. Qul a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Say, I seek refuge in Allah against the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. O Allah, we beseech thy help and ask thy protection and believe in thee and trust in thee. And we laud thee in the best manner and we thank thee and we are not ungrateful to thee and we cast off and forsake him who disobeys thee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for your prayers with us this morning. As we close our program, brothers and sisters, on behalf of our guest speaker, Brother Sean King and Sister Ray King, or Dr. Ray King, we thank you all for what you have done and are doing. All praises are due to Allah, and welcome to the mighty world of Islam. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank Allah for you, dear minister, for all that you have done and are doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank Allah for each and every one of you who are aiding and assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading this powerful word of Islam. On behalf of my co-hosts, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Dr. Nisa, Brother Jamil, Brother Shaheed, Sister Majida, and each and every one of you, and on behalf of those great pioneers and all of you who have offered a kind word to someone, who have just been gentle in spreading this word of Islam, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.